This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, man, lots of activity down at the NFL league owners meetings with rules. I'm going to go through each of them and tell you what was decided or what was tabled today. By the way, Mark Maskey for the Post. He's got great interest in this, so I think, you know, he always is following it very passionately, but he always has so much good information beyond just the tweet that this has been, you know, rejected, or this has been tabled, or this has been passed. So I will add some of that in here for you. So let's start with the tush push. The tush push has been tabled. For the time being, Maskey writes, in the meantime, the language of the proposal will be re-examined. It would have to be approved by at least 24 of the 32 owners to be enacted, meaning for it to be, you know, a play that ends up being outlawed through via penalty. He wrote, according to one person familiar with Tuesday's discussion, 16 teams were in favor of banning the tush push. That's 8 shy of the number needed for ratification. So clearly it got tabled because they didn't have the votes. So they're going to have to come up with, you know, more compelling reasons than safety, because the numbers aren't there on the play being unsafe at this point. It's more of a projection of the play being unsafe. All right, so that's number one. Okay, the tush push has been tabled. So it wasn't approved. It wasn't rejected. It's been tabled for the time being. The kickoff rule, it was made permanent. Last year's rule, remember, was a one-year rule of the whole formation alignment changing, the rules changing with respect to, you know, a landing area and touchback, etc. And kickoff returns went from 21% were returned to 32.8%, but that number was far short of what they had projected last year. They had projected 50 to 60% of kickoffs being returned last year. Didn't happen. Teams were still choosing touchbacks and not caring that teams got the ball at the 30-yard line rather than the 25-yard line, which was from the previous rule. Well, they made the kickoff rule permanent and made one change to it. They are now going to penalize teams who kick it into the end zone touchback by allowing the receiving team to start their possession at the 35-yard line. So 5 yards gained. I don't love that personally. I mean, I just, the idea that an offense gets to start at the 35-yard line on a touchback, I do think that 5 yards will make a big difference in those teams that decided that 25 to the 30-yard line wasn't a big deal. We'll continue to kick it into the end zone because we've got a kicker that can do it in good weather conditions or indoors or whatever it was. They are projecting, according to Maskey's story on this, a return of kickoff rate of 60 to 70% up from the 32.8% of the kickoffs that got returned last year. So, look, Washington was one of those teams that did not kick touchbacks intentionally. You know, some of us thought for a while maybe they just didn't have a kicker with enough of a leg to get it there, but they really loved their kickoff coverage unit, which was outstanding for a big portion of the year, and they liked trying to pin teams in short of the 30-yard line. You know, now the goal will be, hell, if you can keep them inside the 35, then it was worth it not to kick it into the end zone. So that rule adopted and tweaked. All right. Next one, overtime. We talked about this with Cody Benjamin, our last guest. The overtime rule is changing. Again, we are now guaranteeing at least one possession for each team in overtime. I thought this would pass, but I thought it would pass with the extension of the overtime period going to 15 minutes, which it is in the postseason. But remember, in the postseason, too, you can't have a game end in a tie, so we can spill over into the second overtime as well. But this is going to be really tricky because 10 minutes, now you will have that team possessing the ball for the first time as they are on a drive, a first possession drive in overtime. Where it really mattered when they had the ball in overtime previously was trying to score a touchdown to end the game. Now they'll be trying to score a touchdown to take the lead, but leave the opponent with as little time as possible. Now, overtime rules, teams get two timeouts in overtime, not three, because it's one quarter, 10 minutes. If you didn't have any timeouts, you can't carry over any from regulation into overtime, but you get two timeouts in overtime. I think they've got to give teams three timeouts. If you're that defensive team, first possession, and you are getting moved on, of course, you know, there are some people that will just say, well, stop them. Okay. Well, we can't because the game favors the offense, and we're not very good defensively. But our offense is really good, and since we're guaranteed one possession, we'd actually like the chance to have that one possession. So you've got, I think, to give teams a third timeout so that it can be used in the event that the other team has a long, drawn-out, 8-minute-plus drive and scores a touchdown, and now you got a minute and a half, and you got to score a touchdown. That's why I would have made it 15 minutes. That makes it more competitively fair for the team that gets the ball after the first team gets it. Now, that brings into the conversation what I was talking to Cody Benjamin about. In a 15-minute overtime where both teams are guaranteed possession of the ball, you clearly defer if you win the toss. Kyle Shanahan didn't understand that in the Super Bowl, and it cost him, right? So they kicked a field goal. Kansas City knew they needed a touchdown. They scored a touchdown. And Kansas City could have tied the game with a field goal, but whatever. You get the point. You know, it's the college, you know, concept, even though the games played differently in college and overtime. But if you're guaranteed a possession, you want that possession to begin with knowing what you need. Do we need a field goal to win? Do we need a field goal to tie? Do we need a touchdown to win, or do we need a touchdown to tie? You need to know what you need, you know, going into that. And when you take possession of the ball and it is your last possession because the other team scored on their first possession, you now get a fourth down because you're not going to punt. So there's an advantage to deferring. You get, if that other team scores on their first possession, you get a fourth down because you're not going to punt. You know, if you are down three or down seven or down six if they miss the extra point, or down eight if they go for two, whatever it might be. Those are the scenarios other than safety, which would end the game anyway. But you would have that fourth down and you would know what you need. But with 10 minutes, there is an argument, I guess, to be made where in a game in which, let's just say, two bad defensive teams can't stop the other team, you might say, we don't want to get the ball back with 2 minutes to go needing a touchdown. We'd rather they get the ball back with 2 minutes needing a touchdown because we're going to go down and score. So I guess in some instances, with a 10-minute overtime, deferring won't be the obvious answer. All right, so that's the overtime rule. Really surprised that they did. Is safety reasons. And look, I mean, an extra 5 minutes once a year probably on average. Are you kidding me? For each team? That's silly. Make the game competitively fair. If you're going to guarantee the other team possession, make sure they don't get it back with 30 seconds to go down seven. Or even a minute and a half to go down seven. Or even 2 minutes. That's why I'm telling you, you got to give these teams a third timeout so that defensively, if that first team is on a long drive, you've got a chance to stop the clock and give your offense ample time to respond. All right, what else? Oh, so the automatic first down, which was proposed by the Lions. I forget who it was proposed by. The rule in which illegal contact and defensive holding would not be an automatic first down was rejected. That was actually the one where I was like, God, I'd love to see that rule enacted. It was a Detroit Lions proposal to eliminate the automatic first down associated with defensive holding and illegal contact. The NFL owners rejected that. So, third and 19, quarterback is, you know, throwing a quick bubble screen to get, you know, 8 yards and better punting position. But somebody on the opposite side of the field made illegal contact, and here comes the flag, and it's an automatic first down. That is, I think, the most painful automatic first down in the game. I mean, we see, you know, roughing the passers that are poorly called, interferences that get poorly called, but nothing more frustrating than third and super long where the other team, all they're doing is running a quick bubble or even a draw or a screen, and you get on the opposite side of the field where the play wasn't even contested, you get a flag dropped for illegal contact. But that rule and proposal to eliminate those penalties being automatic first downs was rejected. Playoff seeding tabled for now. So that was another Detroit Lions proposal to allow the seeding of the postseason to be determined after the teams are qualified and it being based on records. So four division winners, next three best records, that's the way teams qualify. So you can qualify for the playoffs with an 8-9 division record that wins the division, but you can't host a home game if you're not among the top four best records. So you would seed based on record after that. I am in total favor of that one. That one was tabled for the time being. I just think that that's competitively, you know, it's anti-competitive fairness. Like, okay, we have a division format. I love the division format. There are a lot of benefits to the division format. It's created these incredible traditional games and rivalries over the years. And no one, I don't think, as NFL fans, wants to see the divisions done away with. All right, but once you get into the postseason, if you got a 7-10 division winning record, you shouldn't be hosting a first round game against a team that's 14-3. You shouldn't be. That won twice as many games as you did. That got tabled, and then what else do we have here? Expanded replay. All right, this is what they've done with expanded replay. I'll read from Mark Maskey's story in the Washington Post. The owners approved the committee's proposal to expand the replay assist system for a second straight offseason. This time, that expansion allows the replay official to have input on objective aspects of face mask violations, illegal hits on defensive players, horse collar tackles, tripping, and roughing the kicker penalties called by the on-field officials. The replay assist system cannot intervene on plays in which the officials did not throw a flag. So there you go. They've expanded. The replay assist, by the way, is when we see New York buzz down to say, hey, you got the spot wrong. Ball wasn't at the 25. It's actually at the 24. And they fix it without, you know, the coaches needing to throw a challenge flag. So they've expanded it to include face mask call, flags, illegal hits on defensive players, horse collar, tripping, roughing the kicker penalties, etc., to whatever was on the list before. I think what we saw mostly was, you know, balls that were called incomplete or, you know, catches immediately, you know, or fumbles or not fumbles, those kinds of plays immediately assisted rather than forcing teams to throw a challenge flag. I have no problem with that, honestly. In fact, it's much better that they get it done that way than we force, you know, the coaches to throw challenge flags. Now, what they're talking about on penalties here, that's the expansion, is to be able to look at, you know, you threw a flag for a face mask, but that was not a face mask. Pick up that flag. Pick up that flag that was not an illegal hit on defensive players, on a defensive player. That was not a horse collar. That was not roughing the kicker. So get ready for, oh my God, face mask on a 3rd and 7 that you know got 3 yards, 3rd and 16 that you got 3 yards on, an automatic first down, and then they pull that away and say, no, it actually wasn't a face mask. And then, yeah, that's it. I mean, nothing on the changing of onside kicks at this point. You know, nothing with respect to alignment changes on onside kick. Nothing, they have not... they're not going to allow for onside kicks before the fourth quarter, and they're not at this point addressing the alternative solutions that have been proposed many times, like instead of an onside kick, let's go with a 4th and 16 or a 4th and 15 or a 4th and 17, whatever it would be. So there you go. I'm actually interested in all this stuff. I don't know how much you guys are. I think, you know, I thought we would get something from the Tush Push this week, but they've tabled it. They need 8 votes. They need to go back and find 8 votes. So that's clearly what this is about. I'm curious, though, if there is a rule, you know, the kickoff rule, playoff seeding, overtime rule, Tush Push, automatic first down on defensive holding and illegal contact overturned. If you were really hoping that one of these would get passed that wasn't, or it was tabled, or something that was passed that you wished wasn't, we'll open it up for calls. I don't know if any of you guys are interested. We'll see. 301-230-0980. For me, I really, out of all of these, I think if you gave me one that I can only have one, and maybe that's the way to approach this question, even though some have been rejected already. But if you could only have one of these rule changes, which would you want? I think for me, I deal with the seating, which I think is competitively ridiculous, but I think I would probably say, let's get this automatic first down out of elite, you know, off of illegal contact and defensive holding. Mark off the yardage and replay the down if it wasn't a first down. God, I hate that rule. And it's so painful when it happens to your team. It just extends drives in ways that weren't earned. I think that would be the one that I wish, and it got rejected, but I wished had passed. What do you guys say? What would you have liked to have seen passed more than anything else? 301-230-0980. Denton will give his answer when we come back. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Team980.com.